League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening. You are listening to a Love Sport Radio. Me, Matt Beadle, with you for another half an hour this evening. El Clasico fan show coming up. Next up, we're going to be speaking to Matt Wiltsey of Managing Madrid. But first, just a quick bit of breaking news as such. We heard about 5 or 10 minutes ago, it was news released by BBC that apparently the terrorists on the bridge at London Bridge today, of course, tragic news in the capital today with a couple of fatal casualties following a man that was withheld and shot dead on London Bridge today in the capital. Apparently was a recently released terrorist prisoner who apparently had an electronic tag on. And Boris Johnson has since come out from the attacks and said there will be an enhanced police presence on the streets following today's news. Terrible scenes in the capital today. Like we said here on Love Sport, we will continue to report live on anything crucial that comes out of the incidents today. Moving on now to the El Clasico fan show, we've got Matt Wiltsey from Managing Madrid on the line. Matt, it's great to have you on. Not a bad week for the lads from Bernabeu.
Hey guys, no, great to be back on. And you're right, it's been a good couple games this past week and just continuing that good run of form we've been on since right before the international break.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good for the guys, isn't it? Of course, the 3-1 win over Sociedad last week. But hey, we've got to talk about the game in midweek against PSG because that was crazy, for want of a better word.
Yeah, you know what, Matt? I think that was the best Real Madrid have played in definitely over a year, maybe even 2 years. I mean, it's a lot of people have said that's the best performance since the 2018 Champions League final versus Juventus. And I think I agree. I mean, the team were just incredible. And it was so, so unlucky to ultimately draw that match. It was just too late goals from PSG. But overall, Madrid just controlled that game. Their tactics were spot on from Zizou. He surprised everyone by putting Isco in playing that infamous diamond formation that he threw out early in his first tenure. And, I mean, they just played so well. Isco in between the lines. Valverde continues just to be that engine in the midfield. And it was a great, great display.
We have to talk about a certain VAR incident because, yeah, I mean, I'm sure I've ranted about VAR on this show before. I rant on VAR pretty much on every show that we ever have on this station. Now, what was going on? Because I can't quite believe that Thibaut Courtois' red card was overturned. And if you're a Real Madrid fan, yep, not a problem. That's a good thing. But it was bizarre, wasn't it? Surely you're going to see incidents like that between Idrissa Gueye and Marcelo so many times in games all over the world in football. To bring it back and award Real Madrid the foul and take away the red card for Courtois was a madness, was it not?
Yeah, it was. Even as a Madrid fan myself, I mean, I have to admit, I was shocked. I did not think that that was a foul. I didn't think it should have been pulled back. I mean, if you're going to go that far with VAR, if you're going to take the play all the way back to a foul that wasn't called by the referee, is you could say at best it was 50-50 to be called and take away a great goal-scoring opportunity, a red card. It would have totally transformed that match. And obviously, as a Madrid fan, I breathe a sigh of relief, but I would say, I'll be honest with you, Matt, I was shocked.
Yeah, Courtois looked beside himself when the red card was given. Kind of looked beside himself when it was retracted as well. I don't think he knew quite what was going on. And actually, we're going to stick on goalkeepers because, as fate would have it, of course, Madrid being drawn against PSG, which is where Keylor Navas now is. Keylor Navas in goal for Madrid in that wonderful three in a row Champions League victories, of course. And let's talk about whether Madrid fans would be happy with Courtois or Navas in goal. Where do you stand on this one?
So, I mean, first off, let's just give credit to Navas in that game, because Real Madrid probably would have been up 4 or 5 nothing by the 80th minute if it wasn't for Keylor Navas. And he is absolutely adored by the Bernabeu, by most Madrid fans. They love him, and they felt he wasn't treated fairly, especially by the time he left the club. But for me personally, I love Courtois. I think he's a great person. I think he is a great teammate, and I think he is a phenomenal goalkeeper. And I think his style fits Real Madrid better than it fits Thibaut Courtois. But what I will say is I don't believe he is in the top five goalkeepers in the world. And I think Real Madrid is a club that needs to have a top five goalkeeper in the world. And I'll say this as well. I don't believe Thibaut Courtois is in that category, but neither of them really, I feel, fit the criteria for Real Madrid goalkeeper. I mean, if you think back earlier to this decade or the early 2000s, Iker Casillas was just fundamental to Real Madrid. He was the best, one of the best goalkeepers in the world. And time again, he saved Real Madrid in big, big games. And that's what you need, because Real Madrid is always going to be an attacking juggernaut. They're always going to be going for goal. That's in their DNA. So you need a goalkeeper that's quick off their line, alert, and ready to make those huge game decisive saves.
Indeed. A man who is not going to be out of the side, which is great news for that long, is a certain referee nutmegging whiz kid, and that is Eden Hazard. Firstly, let's talk about the nutmeg on the ref. Hey, look, it wasn't a nutmeg on the ref, but the referee played his part, and the meme that went round was brilliant, that Hazard essentially can now nutmeg even referees. Before he went off in the game against PSG, he was now starting to show the player that we know Hazard can be, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, Hazard has finally really started to find his feet. He's looking like that 100 million euro player that we bought and what we were all expecting. Because, I mean, Madrid fans all across the world, we've seen Hazard at Chelsea. We know what he can do. We know he was the best, one of the best, if not the best player in the Premier League. And on his day, he's just simply untouchable. And the first couple of months, it just wasn't happening with Hazard. He wasn't fit, obviously. Everybody knows that. And it took him a while to gel with his teammates. But now, in the last few games, he has been that Hazard we all expected. And against PSG, I mean, that run, that was the run for the goal you're talking about, where he megs the keeper, he glides. First, he shrugs off Marquinhos, glides past Munir, and then just dribbles right past Guy in midfield. I mean, he did it all and set up that goal. And it's going to be a huge loss not to have him in these next few games. He's been a fundamental part of the team. And now we're just crossing our fingers that he's back in time for the Valencia and obviously the big Barcelona game.
Yeah, that one we're definitely going to talk about over the course of the next couple of weeks. But Alaves are up next, of course. Since the millennium, I have it down that I think it's just 2 defeats over the course of 19 years or so. A pretty friendly foe to face, Alaves, for Madrid.
Yeah, they are. I mean, Alaves isn't going to be one of the juggernauts of La Liga, but they're a good team. And we've had a player who went out there on loan a couple of years ago, Marco Llorente, and that was part of a great Alaves team that actually made it to the Copa del Rey final. They're not the same team as they were then, but it's still Madrid. I hope that Zizou doesn't over rotate and kind of make the team a little bit unbalanced as compared to how they've been playing the last few games. We've had a kind of a consistent lineup, consistent chemistry, and that's really worked well. So I hope Zidane doesn't tinker with it too much, because you got to get these 3 points. It's just critical to continue to get these 3 points.
Another player that I'm keen to talk about is Fede Valverde, of course, scored against Sociedad last week. We speak about him a lot, of course, on the show. He's been a really emerging midfielder for Madrid this season. There's been talk as well that, you know, we always hear this after the event, and I saw a great article on your site, in fact, that both Barca, Arsenal and United were all interested in Valverde.
Yeah, and for me, Matt, Fede Valverde is a phenom, like full stop. I remember talking to actually one of our patrons at Managing Madrid about a year ago, and I told him, I think, and this was kind of a bold statement, I told him, I think Fede Valverde is just as talented as Vinicius Jr. And this was before Fede was getting any minutes, wasn't playing at all. And now if you were to hear that statement today, everyone would say, oh, yeah, of course. Look at this kid. He's unbelievable. And he game after game, he is now a starter in my book. And I think in Zizou's book as well, game after game, he is bringing it. He's that driving force in the midfield. I mean, he's been the one that's really, if you look at it, Madrid's results started to change once Fede Valverde began playing. And so he is the real deal. At 21 years old, he is the man in the midfield for Madrid. And that's just that. I almost feel like that's an understatement. If you haven't seen this kid play, you need to watch him.
So how far are you saying that he can go? Are we talking like Ballon d'Or levels of brilliance?
So his former coach, I believe it was, or the president of his club in Uruguay, Peñarol, came out today and said he feels he's a Ballon d'Or type talent. I feel he is, could eventually be of that caliber, but I don't know that he'll ever be the kind of have the stats and the glossy profile and the media hype to ever get to that type of podium level, just because you need all that to be a Ballon d'Or. And I don't know, he's not that glitzy Pogba type midfielder. He's just kind of, I've seen him compared to Vidal. I can see that, but he's almost a little bit, I'd say, a little bit more, I don't want to say classier of a player, a little bit more refined. His touch, he's more elegant than Vidal. And so I think he does have the talent level, but whether or not it actually ever gets recognized is another thing.
Another man, and we talk about patience as well. I quickly want to touch on Vinicius Junior as well, because Zidane has come out this week and said that he's not going to be going on loan. There is a need for patience with Vinicius Junior, right? Because obviously Hazard has come in, Rodrigo has now emerged as well. This is a guy who will eventually get minutes, you can see, under Zidane. It's probably just going to take a bit of time.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Madrid fans are worried about Vinicius Junior, but I don't think there should be too much there doesn't need to be a big panic. I mean, he reminds me a lot of Marcelo in his early years at Real Madrid. I mean, kind of a little bit chaotic when he plays, but just he always has that magic. He always has that some unique skill set, and his ability 1v1 is unparalleled. And I think he just needs to refine his game, continue to work hard, continue to kind of focus on what he needs to develop, and he'll be just fine. I mean, we forget how young these kids are when they play for Real Madrid. He's 19 years old. Yeah. I mean, he's not even in his 20s yet. So give him 2, 3, even 4 years. I mean, he'll be fine.
There does seem to be this desperation, doesn't there? As soon as there is a new whiz kid, we're like, right, he's going to be the best thing. You've got to play him every week. But like you said, it takes time, especially mentally even, to have to deal with that type of scenario, especially playing for a club of Real Madrid's stature. Matt, it's been great having you on. We cannot have a conversation here on the El Clasico Fan Show with the Madrid side of things without mentioning Mr. Gareth Bale. Now, he did come on, of course, and very nearly won the game in the week with that free kick. What was the reception like? Because it felt like it was slightly warmer than we've come to expect in recent weeks.
Yeah, so obviously we talked before the Real Sociedad match, and he got arousing, just tons of boos. Even after he entered the match, every time he touched the ball, he got booed. And so that was shocking for me. I did expect him to get booed when he entered the match, but for the boos to continue every time he touched the ball, that for me, that was ridiculous. But to, as you said, midweek, he came in and it was a lot warmer reception. He nearly scored the game winner off a beautiful free kick, hit the post in the 94th minute. And I mean, that would have just been too sweet for Gareth. But no, I hope that this kind of subsides as the year goes on. I don't think Gareth's leaving in January. I think he'll stay the full season. What happens in the summer is another story, but I do think he'll play a role. I don't know whether or not he'll be a starter again. I think he will start this weekend, but over the long term in the big games like this PSG match, I don't know whether or not he'll be a starter.
Matt Wiltsey from Managing Madrid, mate, great to have you on the line. We'll speak next week and have all the reaction from that game with Alaves.
All right, guys, thanks.
Lovely stuff. Matt Wiltsey from Managing Madrid there, of course. Madrid travel to Alaves tomorrow. Just 2 defeats against that side in the past 19 years. So you'd like to think, having lost just once in La Liga this season, a blip, you might say, away to Mallorca, they should get that victory in La Liga, which sets it up very, very nicely, doesn't it, for El Clasico on the 18th of December. Speaking of El Clasico, it's Barcelona next.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Good evening. You are listening to Love Sport Radio. Me, Matt Beadle, with you for another 10 minutes or so on this blended Friday evening here at the Love Sport Studios. Next up, it is the Barcelona section, if you weren't able to tell already, of course, from the wonderful music played by our producer, Paddy. We are going to be looking at Barcelona's last two results. Of course, a 2-1 win away at Leganés in La Liga, and then that emphatic 3-1 victory over Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League. A much needed victory, of course. And remembered, we have to say, for Lionel Messi scoring his 700th Barcelona, or scoring on his 700th Barcelona appearance, I should say. That's 613 goals now for Barcelona in 700 appearances. 114 goals in the Champions League as well for Lionel Messi. Just quite incredible. I'm just going to repeat that. 613 goals in 700 appearances for Lionel Messi for Barcelona now. Just quite incredible. I know we speak about him over and over and over again. Looks very much like he's going to win another Ballon d'Or when that gets announced very, very shortly. On the line now, we have Dan Hilton from the Barcelona podcast. Dan, how are you?
Well, I think after Dortmund, I'm doing a little bit better. After Leganés, I think it was we had some worrying signs there. But I'm a little better after Dortmund. And the as much as people have been frustrated this season about the way Barca is playing, I am excited to know that they are, for the 13th straight season, having clinched their group in the Champions League.
Well, it was a concern, wasn't it? Because you said last week it was the unthinkable, that we couldn't even consider the fact that Barcelona might not qualify from the group stages in the Champions League. That doesn't matter now. It's between Inter Milan and Borussia Dortmund, so that will be the straight shootout there. So Barcelona can rest now. Rest, look forward to the knockout stages, and purely focus on La Liga for the foreseeable.
Well, it's funny we say that, because they're not going to rest, obviously. They've got Atletico Madrid on Sunday, and things don't get much easier. Even though they have already clinched the group, they still have to play Inter Milan. And when you play games at that kind of level, and surely I think the argument about Dortmund, when we saw, I want to talk about Luis Suarez's pressing as part of that. In the first half, we saw him press. We saw Barca able to take that 2-0 lead, and it became 3-0, and they looked like they were in good shape. And I thought the effort of Luis Suarez and Messi in that first half, bringing the pressure, it was interesting to see the way they put Rakitic back in the starting lineup, and he and De Jong, when it was in Dortmund's half of the field, especially in that first half, they would sit behind Busquets, and Busquets would basically be the front of a midfield trident when Luis Suarez and Messi were pressing, and then Dembélé was helping to especially try to neutralize what was happening on that right flank for Dortmund. And that said, they gave so much effort that in that second half, when they did certainly take their foot off the gas up 3-1, which is not say a worrying sign, but Jadon Sancho almost getting put in the game, you know, almost turned the fortune for Lucien Favre aside. And all that said, they can't press like that every game. And that's what that shows you, that they wound up getting result against Leganés last week and a number of times in the league this season when they didn't bring their best. And there are going to be times against Atletico Madrid, against Inter, when if they don't bring their best, they're going to be on the receiving end of things. But we know that at the end, with the positive and negative of all these veterans, that the negative is they don't always bring it. But the positive is that they still know what's possible and they know that they can bring it. And that's what they show you against Dortmund, that in the Champions League, which is the trophy they still are highlighting, they're still saying after all these La Liga wins all these years later, that Roma and Liverpool, those are the things that haunt this team, even though that they've been the dominant side in Spain now for a decade. And yet, against Dortmund, it's a side that, while they have been in bad form, Barcelona knew they had it. They had to get the job done, and they did just that, and they had those veteran legs, but they got the job done.
Speaking of veteran legs as well, one who came on for Rakitic, as you mentioned, Arturo Vidal, did come on. He's been speaking out as well this week. Quite interesting quotes from him about the fact that if he doesn't feel important at Barcelona, he may look to move on. You know, he said, I must be objective and live day by day, but even December or even when the season ends, if I don't feel important, I'll have to maybe broaden my horizons elsewhere.
Yeah, Rakitic we're speaking of, right?
No, Vidal, Arturo Vidal.
Oh, right. And I think it was funny, I was on our show, the Barcelona Plus, we were asked Vidal or Rakitic, who should be sold in January? And the reason I asked that was because Rakitic said the same thing 2 weeks ago. but for Rakitic, I think he knows that he's out in January. It makes sense to. And the rumors and the things that have been said from within the club is that they're not going to be bringing in any new players, which is a hopeful sign for those who believe that La Masia or other players farther down the bench may get some minutes. But with Carlos Alenia most likely going out on loan, even Rakitic, who should have been sold in the summer, as I've spoken about in previous weeks here on the show, but yet we speak about Rakitic finally getting being sold in January, and yet here he is starting for Dortmund and making everyone confused all again. But I still think it's Rakitic. And for Vidal, those comments are puzzling, because last season, when he was first trying to break in and Valverde had him on the bench, he did seem to pout, and he had that Instagram post that went viral because of how it just seemed to be looming about the darkness and the sadness that had him on the bench at Barcelona. Then, not because of that post, but he wound up seemingly earning his spot in training, and then he played a lot more, and he wound up being a very valuable part of the side last season. And I think he's still been a more valuable part of the side this year, where he gets more playing time than Rakitic, and yet he comes out with this post. And my point is, and my co-host Frances Tomás always said this in a great way, that if you don't want to be a Barca, a lot of players want to be a Barcelona. So I think the team is ready to move on from not just Rakitic, but Vidal as well. Busquets is somebody I'm going to put my head in the sand like an ostrich. I don't want to talk about it just yet. But I think with De Jong and Alenia, and obviously Puy still pushing on the door, and Arthur, who question marks there about Dortmund and what happened with him once he got back from the international break. I've already saying he needs to earn his squad. But as I said, I think there's enough midfield depth where if Vidal really truly feels like he's going to be valued somewhere else, well, again, he's already close to his mid-30s. I think he has a role that is difficult to replace in Barca's system, but he's one of those players that's never been considered to have Barca DNA. So just fill his role with someone who has Barca DNA, who is good in a tackle and is going to use energy and get after it. And I think he is replaceable. He's a world-class player, but he is replaceable.
Okay, well, looking ahead to the game against Atletico, of course, quite incredible that Atletico haven't managed to beat Barcelona in La Liga since 2010. So much attached to this one, of course. Grizzy returning to his old club. How do you see this one going, Dan?
You know, actually, I don't think it's that surprising, because we look at some of the negative results that they've had, that being Atletico Madrid, and the draws that they've had this season, that they're a team that, again, Barca is individually more talented than them. Diego Simeone certainly has a system that is more tried and true, but I expect a pretty ugly match. I would not be surprised if this is 0-0. I would not be surprised if this is 1-1. I think this is one of those rare occasions when, I'm not a betting man, but if you were, I would put more money on a draw than anything else with this kind of situation. I think this is going to be something hideous that winds up with the way Real Madrid is playing at the moment. I've been on them this season because they haven't been good for a year and a half, and they get lucky in the Champions League win, sure. But Real Madrid, I think for the first time this season, is finally getting into form and looking good, and Hazard is getting, again, this is, I know, I'll let the Real Madrid guy talk about the success of his club, but I would not be surprised if Real Madrid is not top of the table when the weekend is over.
Interesting. Well, Dan, it's been great having you on. Just before you go, we've got about 30 seconds or so left, so I'll have to get this from you very quickly. Ousmane Dembele has been confirmed as going to be missing the next 10 weeks. I think for me, the fact that he's out of the side is awful. The thing I picked up from the fact that he is out is that it's his 9th injury since he joined the club from Dortmund in 2017. I mean, that is staggering.
Yeah, I think it's an utter shame. And I also, the way I'll end this is saying it is a shame. It is who he is. I think the club should continue to try to support him. But I think for all those fans out there that try to blame him and say that it's, you know, it's his responsibility as a professional footballer to be on the field, that is true. And maybe that means that he deserves less money than he's gotten. But to question his ambition and desire to be at the club, I think is disgraceful from so much of the fan base on, and it's online. It's not there at the stadium, nothing like that. But the fan base online, I think it's disgusting when you try to blame those who are often injured. It's an unfortunate part of the game.
Yeah, indeed it is. Dan, thanks very much for coming on. Lovely stuff. We'll talk to you same time next week.
All right. Thank you so much.
That was Dan Hilton of the Barcelona podcast, and this has been the El Clasico fan show here on Love Sport Barcelona, travelling to Atletico Madrid this Sunday. Catch that game at 8 p.m.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.